You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, April 28th, 2025. You're listening to Grandpa Dan, streaming with you, RadioAlbion.com. Kicking off yet another Monday, another work week. Time to get back to the grind, and we're on our grind here at Radio Albion with our Daily Mail Monday version of the Daily installation of the Daily Nationalist, where we take a look at some select stories from the Daily Mail. Of course, I refuse to do celebrity news and royal family news, so sometimes it can be pretty slim pickings, but we make do the best we can. I thought we'd start off with this breaking news story. Some of you over in Europe having a hard time. Breaking news: huge power outage strikes in Spain, Portugal, and France. Entire cities plunged into blackouts, a transport network shut down, and internet is cut off in scenes of mayhem. Spain and Portugal have been hit by widespread blackouts, with millions plunged into darkness amid scenes of mayhem across major European cities. Spanish officials are urgently investigating the cause of the outages and have said they are looking into the possibility of the blackouts being triggered by a devastating cyber attack. Now, see, when I read that, what I actually read here is officials are urgently looking and investigating and looking for excuses for the blackouts. A cyber attack. It could be a massive cyber attack. You see, it's not their fault somehow if it's a massive cyber attack. You always wonder when you hear something like this, you know, and they talk about these cyber attacks bringing all of this stuff down. And you think, well, how does that happen exactly? You know, I know that a lot of this stuff is computerized. But, you know, if for instance, you have computers controlling a switching station or helping keep things even, you know, at a power substation, exactly why the hell does the thing need to be connected to the internet? Now, I don't understand why that would have to be. I guess maybe you would want that information transmitted to a central authority, but you would think something like, you know, I don't know, your major power infrastructure might be worth encrypting, you know, running through a dedicated encrypted sort of channel thing. No, it's just, apparently, I don't think it's a cyber attack. They may wind up blaming that. They'll probably say it was Russia that did it, which brings another thing. You have this chaos. You've had all this smack being talked by the EU, so you have to lump Europe in with the EU, that they're ready to confront Russia. They've got that lunatic Kaja Kallas from the make-believe country of Estonia up there talking all this about we shouldn't be afraid to confront Russia and this and that, and y'all can't even keep the damn lights on. You can't even just under normal. Ain't no, there's no bombs. So when you look in and like Kiev or parts of Ukraine are plunged into darkness because the power's out, well, that's somewhat excusable. You can't look at the Ukrainian power authorities and go, y'all are really incompetent. Because when you got bombs, missiles, and drones blowing your shit up, then yeah, you kind of have an excuse for the power to go out. Here we've got all of this in, you know, big, huge areas here. Major cities in Europe are in a blackout. There's no bombs falling. Oh, well, it may be a cyber attack. It may be because your infrastructure is crumbling. Because the corruption, like everywhere else in the West, is so endemic and runs so deep that they don't fix anything anymore. Remember we had all the trains here in the U.S.? We've had all these trains derailing over the past several years, and we had a big spate of it. You know, we had a big batch of it just grouped together. And I'm reading online, and all of these various people with these theories, you know, they're intentionally derailing the trains. No. No, they're running on infrastructure that was built well over, probably a lot of it well over 100 years ago. You could look up pictures of sections of these railroads, and you wouldn't want to go down them on any kind of train. You have infrastructure that was built over 100 years ago in some of these cases. They do minimal maintenance. There are no doubt they're allocating funds for maintenance, but like everything else, the money gets pocketed, passed around, and nothing gets fixed. So as a result, all of it comes to a head. You know, you can neglect maintenance, you can neglect upkeeping and updating things for a while. And because the original thing that was built by people who are smarter than people that are doing stuff now was very well done. And so you get away with it. The trains still run, the planes still fly, things still go along. But you do hit a critical point when things age out and they start breaking. Trains derail. The lights go out. Oh, but what they want another however many $1 billion for the Ukraine, and they can't keep the lights on. They can't keep the lights on in their own country. All of Valencia and Barcelona were left without power. Spain's entire rail network shut down. Internet services stopped working, and there was chaos on the streets as traffic built up in Madrid and Lisbon, and in the city of Lisbians. These EU people, they keep talking like, you know, they're getting ready to have some sort of, you know, Russia's going to invade Europe. We're going to have a continent-wide war with Russia. There's no evidence of that. And B, you better hope not. I don't think these people that say this actually believe that. This is more money scamming. Oh, we've got to spend all this money on defense. And you know, they're pocketing chunks of that. It's yet another money scam, which is how the entirety of the West operates. We're at the point, if we're not at the point in every country, we're quickly getting there. In the West, we're at the point that we are no longer experiencing first world problems, you know? Years ago, we had these problems and people would laugh and say, yeah, these are obviously first world problems. So, you know, poorer countries are dealing with much fundamental issues. You know, you have first world problems. You have first world problems is like running around worrying that carbon dioxide is somehow killing the planet with the climate crisis and the emergency. These are first world made up. In other words, first world problems are generally made up problems. Again, the made-up problems are usually an excuse for yet another money scam, more money laundering operations, corruption. But we're at the point now in the West that we're starting more and more to no longer have first-world problems. We're having third world. I mean, you've got major cities in Europe that are blacked out, trains can't run, and nobody's dropping bombs on them. They're liable to claim it was a cyber attack from Russia just to cover their ass and make up some excuses. And that even if that was true, and I don't think it is, but even if you gave them the benefit of the doubt and that was true, there's still no excuse. You're the ones running around claiming that the evil Russia boogeyman is just waiting to roll the Red Army over Europe, and you can't even keep the lights on. Oh, but you're ready. You're ready to send troops to the Ukraine or whatever the hell else. Madrid's mayor has urged people to stay where they are as they deal with the disaster, while the president of the city's regional government has called for Spain's prime minister to activate an emergency plan so soldiers can be deployed. What are they going to do? Okay, you're going to deploy soldiers to do what? I mean, they're going to start shooting people? Because that, for the most part, that's what soldiers do. They shoot people. This is something else that drives me crazy. These people, and you see this a lot here in the U.S., they act like the military is God's answer for everything. You know, they need to get the military out there. The military to do what? A soldier's basic fundamental job. Yes, I know there's support soldiers that know how they can do certain things. But when you just have this, oh, they're calling on the government to deploy the military. to do what? A soldier's primary job, the military's primary job, is to kill people. So they can just start and tell everybody, in this case, tell everybody to stay in place and then call for the military to be deployed. For what? To stay in place so they can shoot you. I'm not saying that's what they're wanting to do. I'm just making a joke about the silliness that somehow that'll get fixed if we deploy the military. This is just running around putting window dressing on the fact that the system is corrupt. Now it's failing and you have a bunch of incompetent morons running things and nobody knows what to do. People are in these positions because they're connected, because they say the right things, they know the right people, they belong to the correct families, and they're get in on the money scam. But then when the lights don't come on any longer, then they run, oh, deploy the military. What are they going to do? Unless you're talking about specifically deploying engineers in the military that can figure out how to turn your damn lights back on. But I doubt that's they're going to be able to do that. Parts of France also lost power after the outages in Spain and Portugal, the country's grid operator confirmed. Further outages have been reported as far as Belgium, according to the latest information. The cause of the outages is not yet clear, with the Spanish government saying it is working to identify the origin. No, they're working to find an excuse, to find a plausible story. You're telling me you've got who knows how many thousands of people that work in this department, work in overseeing this. And out of these thousands of people, just nobody knows how this happened. Nobody knows. We're working to figure it out. No, they're not. They're working to come up with an excuse. All of this is just that now they're running around trying to find something they can cover their asses with. If they really thought it was Russia doing a cyber attack, that would already be all over the news. That's just one of the trial balloons they're floating out there to see if people will buy it. There's no way you got this many people and nobody knows. Nobody knows while the lights have gone off in all over Europe. Nobody knows. The power cuts come just days after Spain's power grid ran entirely on renewable energy, including wind, solar, and hydropower, for a whole day, for the first time on April 16th. Yeah, maybe renewable energy isn't realistic. Oh, wow, it ran for a whole day on nothing but renewable, and then the grid crashes. Maybe one of the ways you most quickly get to no longer having first world problems and having third world problems is by getting rid of petroleum. You know, I refuse to call it fossil fuels because that's bullshit. I do not for a minute believe that oil comes from dead dinosaurs. That is just... That is one of the most silly things they put out there that has stuck in the public consciousness. Well, we only had so many dinosaurs. Back when I was a little kid in the 70s, being a Gen Xer. Back when I was a little kid in the 70s, and they would give us this weekly reader. It was a little magazine. It was nothing but bullshit leftist propaganda that they would feed our little minds. And they would basically be telling us how we were going to run out of everything before 1990 because there was only so many dinosaurs and we're running out of oil. Now I'm basically old. and we still have plenty of oil. How many damn dinosaurs was there? Were there. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to sound like a... How many dinosaurs, dead dinosaurs, are we talking about here? So you get rid of the petroleum, you're going to do windmills. We're going back to windmills. Now, hydroelectric, that makes perfect sense. They've used hydroelectric for years, and that's just... Hydroelectric is one of those brilliant ways to produce energy. Wind and solar, not so much. You can go over parts here in Texas, and there's you'll top hills, and there's miles and miles of those damn ugly windmills. Half of them don't work anymore. And you know what they do? They just leave them. They don't even fix them. They offer landowners all this money. They were doing this. This was another one of the money scams back when Obama was in there. They started doing all this. And they would offer these landowners this huge amount of money. You know, I heard at one point in time they were getting like $12,000 a month for each one of these windmills that was put up. Well, that's pretty good money, you know, especially if it's a 20, 30-year-old deal. And they put these windmills up. Sometimes you had miles at these windmills, and then if you looked, there was nothing connecting them to the electric grid. They're just windmills out there, not actually doing anything. Now, a lot of these things are broke down. They don't work, and they just leave them. You see, it sounded real good early on to the landowners because you're getting this deal. They're going to pay you all this money to put this big, ugly-ass windmill up on your place. But when they break and they don't fix them, who's going to take them down? Who's going to haul them off? You can't put them in the landfill. So now you have this huge monstrosity, a monument to man's hubris, to corruption, standing out there, just there. Same with these solar panels. I laugh on this solar panel nonsense. It takes so many solar panels to produce just very, very little electricity. And they cover acres and acres with these damn things. And then when they quit, because everything has a lifespan, when they quit, what are you going to do with them? There they are. Once the government money runs out, the corporations that put them out there will move on, and they won't have to remove them. The landowner will just be stuck with figuring out what the hell to do with them. A fire on the Alaric Mountain in the southwest of France, which damaged a high voltage power line, has also been identified as a possible cause, Portugal's national electric company, REN, said. A director at Spain's electricity grid operator said just before 3 p.m. local time that the outage is, quote, exceptional and totally extraordinary and will take between 6 and 10 hours to repair. How do you know how long it's going to take to fix if you don't know what's causing it? A fire damaged a high voltage power line. Now, this could just be Daily Mail poor grammar, but I'm going to take it at face value. If a single high voltage power line being taken out can make you lose power all across multiple cities in Europe, I would call that a vulnerability. Imagine if bombs were falling. You know? Imagine if Russia really is planning to roll its military through Europe and all they got to do is blow up a single power line and you're in chaos. You lose electricity. Look, I'll go ahead and spoil the outcome of this for you. You know, when this plays out, there'll be an investigation. They will have hearings. They will ultimately find pick a narrative. They will pick a story that they think is good enough, plausible enough that people will buy it. Then they will say, this is what happened. Then they will probably say, we need to spend another umpteen billion dollars to make sure this never happens again. Of course, the money, as always, will get pilfered off into various pockets and nothing will actually be done. Because that's why we no longer have first world problems. Now we're having problems like everywhere else that's not first world. The money will disappear and things will roll on until the next time. And then we'll just wash, rinse, and repeat the cycle. Let's see what other kind of non-first world problems we have. Chaos as female Southwest Airlines passenger strips naked and commits disgusting act. Passengers on a Southwest Airlines flight from Philly to Chicago got more than peanuts when one unhinged woman allegedly stripped down to her birthday suit and defecated on her seat. You go through, here in the U.S., I don't fly. Ever since 9/11, I don't fly. I've not flown commercial since the 90s. And one of the reasons is because I refuse to give up my Fourth Amendment rights of not being searched without some sort of probable cause just to get on an airplane. you know, I'm not going to agree to that. Piss on them. I don't agree to it. I'm not going to agree to it. But to get on an airplane here in the U.S., you have to go through this theater, which is just like everything else, like we're talking about. They established the TSA, which is the security. Before, it was just private security guards making like $8 an hour. All of a sudden, they became government workers. They're getting a ridiculous amount of money. And they do this theater where you walk through the metal detectors or the body scanners, and they pat you down. And they've never, ever, since being created after 9/11, never once have they stopped a terrorist attack. But we just keep doing it. And speaking of the body scanners, remember the guy that was head of Homeland Security? He happened to be basically big with the company that got the contract for the body scanner. This is all just corruption. You get third world level corruption, you get third world results. And we're supposed to be shocked. We're supposed to find this shocking. You got to go through all that. Now imagine this. I'll just get back to a point because I got a little off there. You go through this. You go through the security checkpoints. You get patted down. They tell you to throw away your bottle of shampoo because somehow that could be a freaking bomb. You get on the airplane and some woman jumps up, strips naked, twerks down the aisle, and takes a shit on the seat. And you paid money. You paid money for this. Southwest Airlines confirmed the bizarre drama on Flight 418, admitting law enforcement and medical gurus, were called in for a situation involving a customer. But the insider's stomach-churning account claimed the passenger's act forced the plane to be taken out of service for a deep clean. Our teams are reaching out to those on board to apologize for the situation and any delays to their travel plans, the airline said in a statement. The incident comes amid a recent series of bizarre in-flight disruptions. I've not flown commercial since sometime back in the 90s. And we never had bizarre in-flight disruptions. Back then, you just got on the airplane. You remember, and it gets better the further back you go. You know, you look at those old black and white films or pictures, and people would dress up and get on the commercial plane and, you know, smoke. And they would, like, serve meals. Now, you get twerking and people shitting on the seats. During a flight from Houston's William B. Hobby Airport to Phoenix on Monday, a woman stripped naked in front of stunned passengers on a Southwest flight. Footage taken by Beast Games contestant Macy Estevez and first shared by ABC 13 showed the woman, who has not been named, bare her breasts as she gyrated before the cabin of the Boeing 737. Estevez reportedly said she continued parading on board for nearly half an hour before authorities stepped in and detained her. The Houston Police Department took the woman away for medical evaluations. However, the department didn't say if it would be bringing charges. I'm telling you what, John Madden was ahead of his time. He was. John Madden was ahead of his time. For those of you in Europe who don't know, John Madden was a football coach. And then later he became a well-liked, well-respected, well-known person. If you ever play the Madden NFL video games, they're named after John Madden. He was a very colorful person. He was a very colorful personality. And all through his life, he refused to fly. He was definitely flying. And so when he became a sports commentator for CBS, they had to give him a bus. And he would go all around the country in this bus because, like, okay, he was there in the broadcast booth in Chicago for the Bears game. And then, you know, he had to go to Dallas to do the Cowboys game the next week. So he would get on his bus and go all the way down to Dallas. And people would laugh and be like, oh, man, this guy, and he's scared of flying. He could just be on a plane and be there tomorrow. And he wouldn't do it. So, yo, Madden knew. He was just ahead of his time. I tell you what, there wasn't nobody gyrating and shitting on the seats on John Madden's bus, now was there? Yet, here we are. And people still sign up for it. People say, well, I got no choice. I got to get from here to over there, and it's a long way. You always got a choice. You do. You always got a choice. Me, I choose to not subject myself. Yeah, I may have to drive. It may take me a while to get there. But ain't no one crapping in the seat of my car. Well, I was going to make a vulgar joke about drinking too much coffee if it's early in the morning, but we're not going to go there. Let's go ahead and do one more non-first world problems that have become all too common in the supposed first world. Beloved mom's final act of defiance while protecting her child as teen thugs. It's teen thugs. Tried to carjack her. Yeah, and we're still doing this. I what I do when I go through these Daily Mail stories is I go through the whole main page and I pick all of them at once. Anything that looks remotely interesting. So by the time I get to the bottom of the page, I have like an ungodly amount of tabs open. You know, when your tabs get so crowded, they're like half an inch wide. And then I go through each story and each one that I think I might pick, you know, and I go through and I call it. And one of the stories I called through is the they're looking for a guy, an Air Force guy. Who is wanted on child porn. He had child porn on his computer. Well, he took off. And so they're wanting him for the child porn charges. And they're wanting him for, obviously, he's in the military and he took off. He's AWOL. So they're wanting him on these child porn charges and for being AWOL. You know, well enough and good. But the story, reading the story, they explicitly made it a point to tell in the story, he is a white man. I mean, there's pictures of him. Yeah, we can tell it's a white guy. Okay. Whatever. But they made it a point in the story to tell us he is a white male this age. Like you couldn't see it in the pictures. Again, I have no problem with that. I'm not complaining about that. You know, we used to get suspect descriptions. I remember back in like the 80s, if you watched the news out of, say, Dallas-Fort Worth and whatever latest criminal activity going on in Oak Cliff, and police were looking for the suspects described as two black males in a car. And then all of a sudden they said that's too general stereotyping. Doesn't give people enough information, so we don't need that. But we still see it today. If the suspect is white, they will say white. Often if they're Hispanic, they will go ahead and throw that in there too. But you always know when you see it's teen thugs, you see the code words. Teen thugs tried to carjack this woman. A beloved Missouri mother refused to get out of her car as she was in with that she was in of the car she was in. I'll spit it out in a minute. That's on me. That ain't even on the Daily Mail. She refused to get out of the car she was in with her teenage daughter just before two teen thugs, they were teen thugs, shot her during an attempted carjacking. Kay Johnson, 38, was pulling into her driveway in Mount Pleasant, a suburb of St. Louis, another dead giveaway, with her 14-year-old daughter Evelyn on January 24, 2023, when Deshaun Harris and Brian Wellington approached the vehicle. These were the teen thugs, by the way, with guns in their hands. Wellington, who was 13 years old, and Harris, age 15, each went to one side of the car demanding that Johnson get out, but she refused. Harris then shot Johnson in the face while her helpless daughter watched on in the passenger seat, according to court records reviewed by KSDK. Her body was found inside the vehicle that was parked in an alley just before 7 p.m. that day. You know, when you come to one of the important things about coming to realize that you no longer, or you're quickly reaching the point of no longer living in anything what would remotely resemble a first world country, and you're having these increasingly third world problems, is to stop going around with your head in the clouds and pretending that you're never going to run into any issues. Now, I'm not talking about getting weird about it and being one of these paranoid people that, you know, goes around just looking for something all the time. But this deal where you just go around and you don't ever plan for any eventuality. This woman was living in a suburb, you know, and I'm not criticizing the woman because this is what the vast majority of people do. I'm just saying she provides a cautionary tale. She's living in a suburban of St. Louis. Hello. But you're going, most people just go through their lives with their head in the clouds and never consider, hey, what if, you know, okay, what if this situation, what if a situation such as this happened to me? What would I do? You know, again, you don't have to obsess over it, but you should have like it in your mind. Because what happens when you don't do that is you will freeze up. If you just block it out because it's unpleasant to think about and you never consider the possibility, if on the off chance you're confronted by teen thugs, you're going to freeze up. You will. You're going to freeze up because you never considered this could happen and your brain is suddenly looking for files. Your brain works in a way, you know, it looks for a reference. It look to decide. It has to process the reality of the situation, decide on a course of action. And part of what your brain does for that is it tries to find something to reference this to. And if you've never run through the scenario, a scenario such as that in your head, it has nothing to reference it to. So it's going to take longer for your brain to decide on a course of action because it doesn't have a reference point. Does that make sense? See, we're getting all serious all of a sudden. We're talking, when I say take longer, we're talking maybe seconds, maybe just fractions of a second, but it's there. And sadly for this, in this woman's case, they shot her in the face over over a car. There's a case, it's happened numerous times before, but the case that particularly sticks in my mind because it was years ago and for whatever reason stuck in my head. A teen thug, much like these teen thugs in this story, attempted to steal a man's car. And the man shot the teen thug and killed him. And said teen thug's mom was then on the local news going, well, his life wasn't no car worth more than his life, indicating that the man who owned the car should let the teen thug just steal it. Because, after all, teen thug's life is worth more than a car. You know, setting aside, it wasn't worth more to the teen thug because he chose to put his life on the line to steal the car. This sort of things have been happening. If you read anything besides just entertainment news, you know, and if you live in a suburb of a city like St. Louis, you got to know that that's a real thing that doesn't just always happen to other people. If you play it out in your head, just, okay, what would I do? Like I said, you don't have to spend 5 minutes thinking about it. Just stop for when you got some time and think, okay, if something like this were to happen to me, you know, and this applies to men, women, doesn't matter. If something like this were to happen to me, what would I do? And play that out in your mind. You may never have to use it, and you probably won't. But here's the thing. Fractions of a second, seconds count in an actual situation like this. And while your brain will automatically go and look for reference material, if you've run that scenario through your brain, if this ever happens, this is what I will do, it can save you a second or two where your brain will grab that file and say, hey, I've planned for this. You know, in a situation like this, of course, the gun fetish people will go, I would grab my gun and start opening fire. You are sitting. You are not defenseless. You are sitting in a 3,000 to 4,000 pound projectile. You are not defenseless. You are in a projectile that weighs 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. You are behind the wheel. You are piloting a deadly weapon. Put it in gear and slam on the gas, either to get away or if you're turning and the wheel happens to run over and neutralize 50% of the threat from one of the teen thugs, then so be it. But you're still alive. The point here is, the point isn't to sit around and fantasize about having a confrontation with people. The point is to run the scenario through your head. So heaven forbid, if you're ever in the situation, you're prepared. Your brain is going to save you some precious seconds. In the moments that she refused to get out of the car, when they ran up, pointed the gun at her, get out of the car. Give me the car. Get out of the car. In the amount of time it took her to process that and say, no, I'm not getting out of the car, she could have dropped it in reverse, punched the gas, cut the wheel, and got out of there. You see what I'm saying? You're not defenseless. In that situation, you know, a gun isn't going to really do you any good. What are you going to do? Shoot him back through the window? He's already got the gun. He's got what's called, he's got the drop on you. Circling back to the point of the show, I didn't mean to get all off on that, but seriously, especially if you live in places like this, you need to have a scenario. You need to think about these scenarios and tell your wife or your family members, your kids, whatever, you know, okay, what would you do in a situation like this? And so that they can have that file to draw off of. But to wrap up, you know, I didn't really mean to get off in there, but it's important. These are not civilized first world problems. And yes, crime happens everywhere. I mean, that's nothing new. But we're no longer, look, you can no longer count on the safety, security, and comfort of living a first world life. Those things are deteriorating and they're slower to get to certain areas than others. But the trend continues. We're seeing infrastructure. They can't even keep the lights on, for goodness sake. You think they're going to keep teen thugs from pointing a gun at you? Yeah. The days of first world, comfortable, little made-up first world problems are coming to an end. Now, we're getting third world problems. And to deal with that, you better be able to adopt a third world mindset, you know? Take a look at the people who have lived in those conditions for generations and their mindset and how they deal with it. Because like it or not, it seems to be coming to a country near you. coming to a neighborhood near you, like it or not. Turns out all of this progress they told us, just like everything else, doesn't seem to be all it's cut out to be. We're going to wrap up on that note. I appreciate you. Appreciate you joining us today. Hope you have a great rest of the week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.